The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Gross & Schuster.
Bless my soul, what's wrong with me? I'm itching like a man on a fuzzy tree. My friends say I'm acting wild as a bug. I'm in love, I'm all shook up. Ooh. Ooh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, my hand is shaky and my knees are weak. I can't seem to stand.
Good morning and welcome back to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm Jess. This is News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable, 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. You can find us in the app and you can join the conversation. Hit us up in the text line at 850-437-1620. And I have Terrence Gross on the phone with me today. And I wanted to play a little bit of 50s and 60s rock and roll because, I mean, Terrence... It's what better music than that, right?
True, although I'm 70, so Elvis was still a little before my time.
Well, yes, you know, he was still classic.
He was the beginning, so I probably got into, really started to get into rock and roll music in 65 with the Beatles. Of course, everybody did, and then all the other stuff that came after that with the Rolling Stones, Grateful Dead, and the list goes on, Led Zeppelin, whatever. But anyway, we're not here to talk about rock and roll. We're here to talk about the law. But anyway, I do have a topic, and I appreciate you hosting today. And we always love callers. What number could they text or call at?
850-437-1620.
Well, I want to go over what I would call the law of unintended consequences. Now, there is no such law in Florida. I mean, that's just an axiom, but the law of unintended consequences. And the reason I bring that up is I've been a lawyer for 45 years, and I think all the insurance defense lawyers and the lawyers that know me and the judges, they would say, I'm a litigator. I'm a personal injury lawyer. I do litigate, but I wouldn't call myself overly litigious. I'm not one of these lawyers will file suit at a drop of a hat. I'm very methodical about it. I get to know my client. I get to know the case. I take my time. And if things can be resolved amicably, why not? So historically, throughout my career, I would say, give you a rough guess, that of all the people I've represented in 45 years, I would say 80% of those cases I settled with no lawsuit. So 80% I was able to, one way or another, eventually convince an insurance company to come up with a reasonable settlement that satisfied me and my client, where we're willing to walk away without a lawsuit. So that's a pretty good number. But then there's the 20% that eventually, of course, you do sue and they go to the system. But my whole purpose of this talk today is the law of unintended consequences. So if little people don't know this, excuse me if I cough, I'm just now getting over COVID, so I'm trying my best. In March of 2023, the legislature passed a law that changed Florida's tort system. And I've known my entire career that I've been here for decades and decades and decades. And that is, Florida has always had what we call a 4-year statute of limitations. You had 4 years in which to bring a lawsuit, and then, you know, if you can't settle in 4 years, then of course you do got to file suit. But if you think about it, 4 years is a long time, and I was able one way or another to usually settle 80% of my cases. Well, now it's 2 years. You go, well, 2 years, what's the problem, Mr. Gross? Well, what people don't understand is that people just don't have an accident and like a whiplash and end up in surgery the next week or month or 2 or 3 or 6 months later. Normally what happens with a lot of people I see is a lot of them begin with a chiropractor. They don't want needles. They don't want a bunch of pills. They don't want surgery, and chiropractic is a very good option. And then maybe if that doesn't work, or maybe a sharp chiropractor will say, you know what? Something's going on here more than just a whiplash. You need an MRI. So then several months later, they order an MRI. And then if that MRI shows a herniated disc or a disc extrusion or something like that, well, then the chiropractor says, you know what? I think I could try to help you, but I think you better either see a pain doctor at this point or possibly even a surgeon. So it's sometimes months or even a year later before a person ever ends up in a surgeon's office. Because a lot of times they see the chiropractor and they see the pain doctor, and the pain doctor tries some medications, they try some injections. And if all else fails, then of course they end up seeing a surgeon, which is something nobody wants. And then even they see the surgeon. So let's say a year or so after the wreck, you do have a herniated disc. You tried all these conservative measures, and you do see the surgeon. And the surgeon says, well, the only thing I can offer you is a cervical fusion. We're going to have to go into your neck. We're going to have to trim your disc. We're going to have to put in plates and screws. And that's pretty scary. When they start talking about putting plates and screws into your spine that was perfectly normal before this car wreck, that's a little scary. You might say, let me think about it. I mean, and that's a big deal, and that's very typical of most people. So the people I've represented, yeah, some of them do have those type of surgeries within 2 years of the wreck, but more often than not, I get plenty of people that kick the can down the road because they don't want surgery, or maybe they can't miss that much time for work, or they can't be assured of the outcome. And it's not till maybe 3 or 4 years later that they just finally give up and say, look, I can't take this pain any longer. I just can't take it. I'm going to have the surgery. I know I'm scared, but I just got to do something. And that's happened to me so many times. So a lot of times I will hold these cases with the 4 year statute of limitations. And, you know, maybe they have the surgery, and of course, after surgery, most insurance companies definitely want to settle. They don't want to go to court and a jury hear that somebody got plates and screws in their neck after a rear-end accident. So they don't want a jury to hear that. So they've been more than willing to maybe come up with some real money at that time. But also, there's just a rule of thumb I have. This is my rule of thumb. It's not any book, and some lawyers may disagree with me, I understand. But my opinion is that a case pre-surgery, where a doctor says you may need surgery versus surgery, the difference in this case is about three times. If you have surgery, it's probably worth three times that of no surgery because you've had the surgery. You're not guessing at the medical bills. You can see what they are. So the jury doesn't have to wonder will they ever have it or whatever. You've had surgery. So it's a game changer. So in 4 years, I've often been able to hang in there and wait and put my foot on the brakes and just tap the brakes and slow the case down. But with the 2 year statute of limitations, I'm not going to have that luxury. So now in cases normally that I would have settled in the past, I'm going to have to file suit prematurely. And any competent lawyer doesn't wait till 2 years to file suit. You file suit several months before because you got to worry about, you know, unknown defendants and service and all kinds of lawyer things. So you don't wait the last minute to file a lawsuit. So I'll give you a great example. The best example I'll give you. I have a dear friend of mine met a plaintiff's lawyer like myself in New Orleans, and we talk all the time. We're really good friends, and we think alike. But there's one real big difference. Whenever I call his office, he's always in court. I can call Monday through Friday, and I get the same. He's in depositions. He's in court. I go, what the hey? And so I finally talked to him about that. He goes, Terry, what you're missing is Louisiana has a one-year statute of limitations. I can't settle these cases in 1 year without giving them away for jump change. If I think the case is worth whatever, I've got to file the lawsuit to protect my client and toll the statute of limitations. And 90% of my cases are litigation. I'm going, wow, only 20% of mine are. And that was when we had a four-year statute. So this law is relatively new, but I would say if you talk to me a year from now, 1 year from now, because of that statute. So a lawyer like me, that's not an ambulance chaser, that's not lawsuit happy, and it's going to force me because I'm not going to settle a case short because they've shortened statute of limitations. See, insurance companies have done this intentionally to hope to keep settlements smaller. That's the whole goal. And there are lawyers that won't sue. So it may work to that degree because there's some lawyers that just, they're just factories. They're big firms, and they, in fact, I'll give you a good story. My son-in-law is my partner. Well, his little brother graduated law school, and he went to work out in Colorado at this law firm. That's kind of like one of these big advertising law firms here, like the billboards are big, or they're better, all these things. And he got marching orders right out of the thing. He's a brand new lawyer, brand new. And they said, you have to settle 17 cases a month. I'm going, what? I mean, it was like a numerical thing. It had nothing to do with the person or the representative. It was so impersonal, he had to get a quota. And that means he was maybe getting cases away. And how can you settle that quickly? And maybe the person hadn't even had an MRI yet. And maybe an MRI later down the road, because MRIs aren't always done right after wreck. Some people don't even have MRIs until a year after the car wreck. And then MRI can show a hernia and he gets there and needs surgery, and get some lawyer at an advertising law firm sell the case for $15,000 or $20,000 or $25,000, get a quick buck to pay for the next billboard. And that's the problem I have with that. But here, the point I'm bringing out is we're very methodical. Let me tell you a true story. It just came to my brain. So this is like 15 years ago, 20 years ago. And I was representing this guy, and when he first became me, he was built. This guy was, hunked up a gym rat. You could tell he was a gym rat. He was buffed. And I'm representing him, and he's seen a chiropractor, and finally came to talk to him about settling. And I noticed that, unlike most people gain weight after rep because they don't get exercise, they're depressed, and they're just not out playing tennis and running or whatever because you're hurt. Well, this guy had lost about all that muscle. He lost 20 pounds. He goes, huh, this doesn't seem right. And he says, I'm getting numbness down my arm. And I said, have you talked to your chiropractor about MRI? And he goes, no. I said, well, you need to. So he calls me back a week later, and he said, my chiropractor has a message for you, Mr. Gross. I said, what's the message? He said, you told your lawyer to stay at the law and let the chiropractor stay in medicine, that an MRI was a waste of money. And I said, with all due respect, sir, I have to know both. I have to know the law and the medical part because I settle these cases based on the medical findings. I don't want to be the lawyer that settles this case for chump change and come to find out that you've got a herniated disc or something worse. And, I said, you've got to have an MRI. It's on me. It's almost like malpractice, I feel. So he finally gets the MRI, and he had two herniated discs, not one, and he ended up in surgery. And instead of selling that case for $15,000 or $20,000 or $25,000, like a lot of lawyers would have, I settled for a obviously six figures later on. And the moral to the story is that it took time. It wasn't an immediate thing. And because I had a four-year statute of limitations, I was able to do that. But with the two-year statute of limitations, it's, you know, all of a sudden there'll be in lawsuits more and more. And then the insurance companies will further blame. And the scapegoat, you know who the scapegoat's going to be? It's going to be the trial lawyers. Then they'll start being, oh, look at all these lawsuits. Well, they created the mess. The insurance companies are the one that ones that lobbied the legislature. None of us were there complaining in Tallahassee that 4 years was too long, that we had to go to 2 years. And they, and again, they were greedily thinking that this would minimize cases, and it could backfire because I think I'm not the only lawyer that's going to sue more. There's plenty of competent, good lawyers out there that will sue, and I'm going to go from settling 80% probably down to 50%. Could be worse, depending, you know, just on the timing. And that's one part of the law of unintended consequences. It's a double shotgun. The other part is at the same time the legislature moved the 2 years, our court system said, we want to fast-track cases. Once you file suit, we don't want you to dilly-dally and hang around in oblivion for 2 or 3 years. We want, once you file a suit, we want these cases put before the trial courts. And they're going to give you calendars and directives and cutoffs. And so now they've started that. But so it's forcing me to file suit before I'm ready. And then once you file a lawsuit, the judges, by this new mandate, is going to force us to kind of go to court prematurely. And it's all being orchestrated either by the insurance companies or by people that know nothing about the trial system. Because the judges know. Now, if you interview the judges, they know. They don't like this new law about the directive because a lot of times, you know, even after I file a lawsuit, depends what lawyer you get, of course, you're able to, you know, jump through this hoop and jump through that hoop and eventually work things out. And by the way, give me a 1 minute warning because I'll talk on all day. So
I definitely will. We do have a question on the text line when you get done talking, get done your sentence.
It's a good break.
Okay.
I'd rather take the text. Yeah.
Okay, great. After an automobile accident, does a person injured have the right to get video from businesses who had cameras in front of their stores where the accident happened?
Good question, and we do that all the time. They say they're right. So we get this all the time because we get these intersectional collisions. And this is where my sons have been great. Everybody said that, oh, when I brought my sons in with me, I got my three sons with me, that you know, I'd be mentoring them and I'd be teaching them. They helped me. And immediately, I mean, they're all over this. So, you know, we go to the scene and don't start getting the video footage as best we can. Some people will freely give it to you. And yeah, I guess in theory, most, you know, businesses will cooperate. And I could think of a dozen cases I've had now in the past several years that have broken the case wide open where someone said, I had the green light. No, I had the green light. And the video footage, but you have to strike fast because a lot of these videos, they don't plug a new tape in. It's not like a VHS tape or something. It's just a reel, and it will tape over itself every, you know, 10 days or so. So right. You have to be very quick in getting these tapes.
Right. That's a great question.
That answers that question.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it was a good question.
Great. I just want to remind everybody, we're about 5 minutes out here. We have left of our segment. 850-437-1620. Send us your questions. Call us. Text us. We have Terrence Gross on the line with us today.
Good. And another, before we end, I want to give a term out there that's used in the medical field. And it's MMI. Maximum date of medical improvement. That's when a doctor says, I'm sorry, it's as good as you're going to get. We'll try to placate your pain, but you're just not going to get any better. And usually MMI is not reached until a year or maybe more after a car wreck. And then, of course, most doctors want to see you for at least 6 months or so before they say an MRI. So it's like some people start the chiropractor, they may not even see a pain doctor for 9 months after the car wreck, and maybe not a surgery a year later. So again, I, as a lawyer, I'm trying to get opinions from all these doctors. They don't want to give an opinion until the person's in MI, and 2 years sounds like a long time. It's just not. And so it's going to force me to file suit on people that have not been declared in MI. So I'm not even ready to go to court, but yet then you get this other order saying once you file suit, they want you to start preparing for court now, as opposed to, you know, the old way of doing it, where you just kind of do discovery and see if you can work things out with the other lawyer. And then if you couldn't work it out, then you ask the judge for a trial date. I've never had a problem being dilatory, but I guess maybe some lawyers are dilatory. So, but I tell you, the judges are very frustrated. And that's just the beginning. The judges are going to be overwhelmed. They're already, if you talk to any judge, they'll tell you they're overworked, underpaid. And every year we put in for more judges. And more often than not, the legislature denies those requests. And very few people want to be judges. I mean, there are a group that do, but it's not the highest paying job. It's very respectful. It's great being a judge. You're well respected, but you're putting in big hours, lots of responsibility. And you have to know about every part of the law. Sometimes you're in criminal, sometimes you're in divorce, sometimes you're personal injury. And there's a big burnout rate. Used to be when I was growing up that you were judge all, once you became a judge, you just stayed judge to the mandatory retirement of 70. What I'm starting to see is people getting in and they're retiring well before their time is up. So there is a problem with the system. So and up till now, personal injury cases have been a very small portion of the judge's responsibility. Most of it has been criminal and divorce, but I think now we're going to see an explosion of personal injury lawsuits, not because the lawyers are greedy, not because we're ambulance chasers, but because the legislature has changed the law and is forcing lawyers like me to sue them, and we will. We're not going to kowtow to the games that the insurance companies are playing.
Well, thank you so much for calling in today and talking to our listeners and sharing such a wealth of knowledge. We really appreciate you, Terry. We hope you feel better soon.
They call me at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.